I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time, 344. The three things you need to know this hour first.
A new audit says Utah's labs are processing coronavirus tests pretty quickly, but people aren't getting their results fast enough. I'm KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce.
Second, Senator Mitt Romney is proposing yet another compromise for unemployment relief. It would extend payments through the end of the year, but provide less than $600 per week. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot. We're brought to you by Mountain America's Visa Double Rewards.
Scanner Chatter is calling out a new crash. This is in downtown 7th East at 400 South. If you're traveling I-15, you've got a good drive between Bountiful and Bluffdale. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The hot one out there with sunshine, 99. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
Not quite. We're at 97 in Salt Lake City now. KSL's top national stories from ABC News.
The State Department says at least one American is among the 135 dead and several are among the 5,000 injured in yesterday's massive explosion at the port of Beirut. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
You'll see the United States announce a number of things we intend to do to assist the people of Lebanon in the coming days.
The Lebanese government says more than 27 tons of highly combustible ammonium nitrate was stored in a warehouse on the dock. Virginia is the first state to launch a smartphone app to trace the spread of COVID-19.
The idea behind the COVIDWise app is that if you realize you've been exposed, you can get tested to find out if you have the virus.
Governor Ralph Northam says the app does not track or store personal information, nor does it rely on GPS. Senators continue to negotiate a new COVID-19 economic relief package, but they're making very little progress. At least 9 deaths now blamed on Tropical Storm Isaias, and hundreds of thousands are still without power. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. 2 years after the release of a Utah man from a Venezuela prison, it's still hard to say exactly why Venezuela let him go, but it almost didn't happen. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce has more in the last episode of Hope in Darkness, the Josh Holt story.
Mr. President, last week I spent 4 days in Venezuela.
In April of 2018, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin traveled to Venezuela to urge that country's president to ensure its upcoming elections would be fair. And to negotiate, he hoped, for the release of Josh and Tammy Holt.
Josh and his Venezuelan wife have served 21 months with no end in sight.
Durbin made those remarks in a Senate floor speech after a mostly cordial meeting with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, according to former Senate Foreign Relations Committee staffer Caleb McCary.
They had a good meeting.
Durbin felt compelled to make his fellow senators and the American public aware of the conditions in Venezuela.
A pound of hamburger cost $4. Which doesn't sound bad, except that is the monthly wage, the minimum monthly wage in Venezuela.
He witnessed people starving and struggling to make ends meet and imprisoned if they opposed the government.
That's what they face by being political opponents to the current regime.
McCary knew Maduro was sensitive to overseas perceptions about his country.
And frankly, I was worried that we were completely burnt to a crisp.
Then the prisoners took control of El Helicoide.
I need your help to get me out of this place.
I was pretty down in the dumps about how we might get you out. At one point, Senator Hatch had a phone call, which we arranged with President Maduro, and they spoke about the case directly, but I really didn't hear anything.
Then the phone rang.
And the timing of this was 1 week after Maduro had staged his reelection.
The governor of Venezuela's Carabobo region thought if McCary could get his boss, Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, to come to Venezuela in person, Maduro might release Josh Holt. McCary still doesn't know why Maduro agreed to let Josh and Tammy Holt go.
Maduro did this for whatever reasons he did it, but in part he did it for me because of our friendship. And I'm grateful to him forever for that.
Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
By the way, his intervention ultimately cost Caleb McCary his job. The whole story is in episode 12 of Hope in Darkness, available free at kslnewsradio.com or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. KSL News Time approaching 349. It's time for traffic brought to you by Mountain America's Visa Double Rewards. Let's check in with Ricky Meese.
Crash-free and really delay-free on all your Salt Lake County freeway. The only spot that's starting to build up and maybe dipping below the freeway limit is southbound I-15 going from Murray into Midvale there at the south interchange. I-15 in Utah County, both directions between the Point and Provo, looking really good. We've really not had any other kind of problems if you're on I-80 through Parley's Canyon or I-80 headed towards Tooele, but we have had some slowdowns along I-80 near Echo Reservoir that is likely due to roadworks. Steve?
And good speeds leaving the downtown Salt Lake City area right now. Northbound 15, good to go until you hit about late, and then some slowdowns by the mall. Farther up, big backups starting to fill in for some reason. Clearfield up to Sunset. Southbound 15 in good shape, and we still have that crash on Highway 89 at Rick Spring in Logan Canyon. Both directions of traffic are closed until about 5 o'clock this afternoon between Logan and Rich County. Zebra Res Carpet Cleaning has been proven in lab tests to remove more dirt and soils than any other method. Their powered water cleaning means no soap, no shampoos, and no toxic chemicals. Schedule your Zero Res cleaning today. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the nines, but we're going to pause now because President Trump has begun his White House briefing, and we're going to go live on KSL News Radio to Washington, D.C. Let's listen.
Visited Arizona to consult with Governor Ducey. They had long consultations with Governor Ducey and his staff, and the vice president has been in constant contact ever since. My administration is also collaborating with the state and local officials across the South and Midwest to provide similar guidance. We had a great relationship with the representatives in Arizona, and it's been such a successful endeavor. The federal government has supplied or delivered more than 400 million pieces of personal protective equipment to Arizona, along with nearly 70,000 vials of remdesivir. We've provided over over $18 billion in economic support to Arizona, including more than $8.6 billion to support over 80,000 small businesses. So we really have been helping Arizona, and it's gotten tremendous results. Our goal is to protect the most vulnerable, increase recovery rates, you know that, that's something so important, and prevent hospital overcrowding, all the while avoiding the kind of stringent lockdowns that would inflict substantial suffering. In the phase and this phase of the battle, we have the tools, resources, and knowledge to implement a targeted approach as we race to deliver a vaccine. And we are really working very hard on the vaccine, and I think they're doing a fantastic job. I've been meeting with officials of some of the greatest companies in the world, and meeting with scientists, and they're getting very close. If not there, they're getting very close. They're testing. Any proper analysis of infection control measures must take into account the short-term and long-term public health harms, including death caused by a far-reaching shutdown. When you shut down, you have many, many things that happen, from suicides to depression to drinking, alcohol problems to drug problems, to problems with marriages. You have people confined to their house, their apartment, for long periods of time. You cause a lot of problems with that also. Instead, Arizona's adopted the following measures. The governor advised residents to aggressively social distance when possible and maintain strict hygiene. The state encouraged mask use in crowded public places, especially when social distancing is not possible. The governor also exercised his discretion to restrict capacity at indoor locations to limit the possibility of super spreading. It's a big thing. My administration surged treatments. We got them a lot of treatments and therapies to the state, including nearly 70,000 vials of remdesivir, enough to treat over 11,000 patients. And it's been very successful, I might add. My administration also delivered PPE and point-of-care testing to over 100 Arizona nursing homes. In total, the federal government has provided massive amounts of masks and equipments and gowns, and you know some of those numbers. But Arizona was a very big beneficiary, and they very much really appreciated it. More than 1,000 National Guard and medical personnel have also been deployed in Arizona, and they've really helped. They've been terrific, and I want to thank them. They have been brave and brilliant, combination of both. We also supported our tribal communities. The tribal communities were hit very, very hard. Governor Ducey and I personally delivered rapid testing systems to the Navajo Nation, which has been in originally bad shape and now getting better and very, very quickly. The Navajo Nation now has one of the highest levels of testing per capita anywhere in the world. We really worked very hard on the tribal areas and in particular, in this case, the Navajo Nation. They've done incredibly well. Overall, Arizona has conducted over 1.1 million tests, more than the entire nations of Japan, Mexico, and Switzerland. Arizona's per capita testing is higher than Germany, South Korea, France, and Canada. And tribal governments in Arizona have received nearly $1.3 billion for the coronavirus relief fund. Meanwhile, outdoor dining, limited indoor dining, and most of the other businesses in Arizona have remained open and very vibrant. They're doing incredibly well. This is an approach, and it's an approach that's been incredibly successful. Arizona has been able to protect high-risk populations and quickly bring its outbreak under control without the need to impose overly punitive measures. Thanks to advances in treating the virus, the fatality rate across all age groups in Arizona is very low. Arizona's scientific and data-driven strategy also preserved hospital capacity, ensuring that those who need care were able to receive it and receive it immediately, very quickly. At the peak, approximately 15% of beds remained available statewide. That was at their peak, with roughly 20% of all occupied beds going to patients hospitalized for the virus. They kept other things going. They kept other forms of operations going. They kept elective surgery going. Did a really amazing job. Today, only 6% of the current hospitalizations in the state are related to the China virus. Arizona has also demonstrated success in protecting the state's African-American population. Only 5% of patients hospitalized were African-American, and African-Americans represent just 2% of all deaths from the virus. As it has worked to contain its outbreak, Arizona has also been formulating a plan to get children safely back to school as soon as possible. We want our schools open all over the country. We want our schools open. Arizona's worked very hard on this, and they're doing very well. The Department of Education is providing Arizona schools with $625 million. They're working very hard, and that's in conjunction with CARES funding. My administration is actively working with other states in the same way we worked with Arizona. In recent weeks, members of the Coronavirus Task Force have visited over 15 states to encourage them to follow our path forward, including Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Indiana, and Ohio. And I'll be going to Ohio tomorrow. I look forward to it very much. It's a great place and a great state with an excellent governor, and we look forward to being there tomorrow. Next week, Dr. Burke, we'll be visiting Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And also, I believe they're trying to get in West Virginia, a great place, a great state, and I'm sure that will happen because we'd like it to happen. They'd like to see her. So we're going to try very hard to get the doctor to West Virginia, in addition to those states, to deliver aggressive, tailored, and targeted guidance. The strategy we're taking to these states will protect those at highest risk while allowing others at a lower risk to safely resume work and school. If we do this successfully, it can be really something incredible because we're talking about a lot of states. We're talking about many, many states. It's really great to see also that Florida, we're coming down. It's coming down and pretty substantially in many locations. And even Miami is starting to come down. Miami was hit very hard. California, likewise, and Texas, likewise, coming down and really starting to be a substantial amount of reduction. It recognizes that prolonged lockdowns impose a wide range of serious public health threats, including higher levels of suicide, drug overdoses, and other significant health harms resulting from the depression that we talked about, social isolation, economic hardship. It's been very tough for those people that are put in a lockdown position for too long. Really has been a very tough and harmful situation for many people. The fact is that these harms are not measured daily here or abroad. It makes them
live at the White House breaking it down by state this afternoon, presenting an optimistic, positive picture of the fight against the coronavirus. You've been listening to live coverage of the White House briefing on KSL News Radio. We have 97 degrees in Salt Lake City. We're headed down to 72 degrees overnight.